So anybody remember Dennis Karp? That was a long time ago, right? It's Easter. Dennis Karp, the Easter message, how appropriate. The chosen one. I really like what he said. He said something like, are Jews, like, did we do anything special? You know, what makes us chosen ones? And he's like, no, we didn't do anything special. We're chosen because God chose us. And isn't that grace? You know, isn't that us? You know, God chose us. Thank you, Lord. And so he talked about the road to Emmaus. Didn't our hearts burn within us when Jesus expounded the scriptures? You know, sometimes just Jesus shows up, you know? He just shows up. And sometimes we don't recognize it. He just shows up. And after we know that we've been with Jesus, they left that night and walked 7 miles uphill back to Jerusalem, right? Like, Mason had been with Jesus. How does somebody get up at 4 a.m? I mean, he did a lot, but he was blessed with not needing as much sleep as me. I'm serious. But amazing. And then last week, David, what did he speak on? Anybody remember? Love. He had like four points. Sacrificial and all-powerful, John 3:16. A seeking love, John 15:16. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Why did he choose us? Because he did, you know? Ezekiel 34:11-16, the Lord will seek the sheep. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came. In order to come, he had to go. And that's one thing Mason did a lot. He was always going, wasn't he? He was on the move. I remember he showed up at our house with plants, and he would only stay like 2 minutes. And I was blessed. I was like, how does he do that? Like, 2 minutes, and he had a word. Like, he had a word, and then he was gone. And he was talking to somebody else for sure, you know. But I remember he left these little Medusa peppers, colorful peppers. I was like, why in the world would he give us peppers that you can't eat in the fall? And we kept those things, and they were so pretty. We were like, well, we're all about peppers now. It was like, they were really cool. And, yeah, a serving love. So he would go, a serving love, John 13:14-15. Jesus washed their feet. And as an example for us to serve one another. And then a secure love, John 15:17, fruit that remains. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Ephesians 3:18, the love of Christ that passes knowledge. He loves us so much. And Romans 8:38, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We're secure, right? So that's awesome. And then I feel like whoever went to Mason's memorial service, it was another service, you know. It's the body of Christ gathering. There were so many messages, so many portions, and God gave so much. Here's a couple of tidbits that really blessed me. There was a ton, but here's just a couple. He said, if there are no tests, there'd be no testimony. Everybody here has a testimony, right? And the biggest test is we were born with a sin nature, right? And our testimony about being saved. But as we walk with God, our testimony grows. And there's no test, no testimony. And then somebody asked him a question, why did he waste time with troubled kids? And he said, we're all troubled. Amen to that. So I was thinking about this word preach, and I looked up preaching, and so many things came up. I was like overwhelmed. You ever have, like, you're going to preach a message and you have trouble, like downsizing it? But it means to cry or proclaim as a herald in the sense of proclaim, announce, or preach. And I was thinking of different pastors that I know, and some of them are loud and, like, in your face. And you can say they proclaim as a herald, you know, they're preaching, you know. And then some of them are very quiet, Like this Finnish guy, Pastor Matti, he talks like this, and he's very quiet, but he proclaims, and it's like the Holy Spirit behind him shouting at you, but he's talking like this. And so, like, God uses different personalities. So don't think if you don't have a personality like Mason that God can't use you in his own way. Everybody doesn't have the same personality. And and Mason could see that in people. He would come alongside people and he would see that. And so the message isn't all about Mason, but I couldn't help myself. I mean, he's such a like man of God. And for those of you who didn't know him, find somebody who walks with God. You know, if you're around wise people, you'll become wise. And wise people know where the wisdom is, and the wisdom's in Christ Jesus, right? And so this preaching, this was Revelations 14, 16. And then I saw another angel in the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on earth. Does that apply to us now? No, angels don't preach to us. I mean, maybe in a very unusual circumstance, but they're not preaching to us, right? What does God use to preach to us, to proclaim his message? People. He uses people, like Mason. He's always proclaiming, you know, and me and you. And so this is Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you're like, I heard somebody say, I think it was Pastor Shelley, he said something like, somebody said, well, should we go somewhere? And he said, are they a creature? Then yeah, we should go there. You know, it's like preach the gospel to every creature. You know, and go into all the world, and like this has two senses, right? Obviously, the entire geographical world, every tongue, tribe, nation will be in heaven, and so we're going to do that. But also, we're in the world, but not of the world. But we come in and go out, and we go into the world, right? And Mason told me one time, he wanted to be a missionary in Morocco, and then God called him to stay here in Culpeper. But he continued to go. He didn't go to Morocco, but he went. And the going, there's something big in that. And I think sometimes, too, like you just open your mouth and he'll fill it, and you go and he'll show you. And a lot of times Mason would use opportunities at the greenhouse was a great opportunity, right? Like 4-H, like wherever he was, he just used that opportunity. He was very creative. And God can give some people more creativity than others. But he can still use you. He can still use us. And so I'm going to proclaim against sin a little bit. It's okay to preach against sin. It's okay, you heard about that. Then we'll get to the real message. But God hates sin, right? And all forms of it, even in our mind. And that's probably where it starts, right? Temptations are not wrong. To have an evil thought is not wrong. Temptations came to Jesus. But to entertain it, it becomes sin, right? And so even in our mind, if you think with lust in your heart, if you have adultery in your heart, then you're an adulterer. And one of the people that comes to mind when I think about preaching the gospel in this sense is Ray Comfort. Who's ever heard of him? Ray Comfort on YouTube or something. He's got this witty little way about him. And he says, the Bible says if you've committed lust or adultery in your heart, you're an adulterer. And if you committed murder, like thought about wishing someone were dead in your heart, then you're a murderer, you know, like, so you're a murdering, lying, stealing, you know, like, he goes through the litany of sin, and it's like, yeah, I guess I am, you know, if God, I were to stand before God, I'd be guilty, right, and we are too, and so you have sins of commission, right, actively, like, if we think in our heart, and we wish somebody were just removed from the face of the earth, we're a murderer, right? And fornication is wrong. Everybody know that? The TV and the world will tell you otherwise. Adultery is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. In your heart. And whatever is not of faith is wrong. And I don't have to tell you about pornography or drugs. It might not be specifically listed in the Bible, but the Holy Spirit has already told you that. And so then, say drugs, somebody would say, well, show me a verse where it says something. Well, maybe you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's already told you that, is that a sin to not listen? That's kind of the sin of omission, right? So we got these sins of commission, and so then we go into the different sins. And how about the new one, the trans movement? I mean, how wicked, sick, and evil is this? Now, if you have a little girl that likes to dig holes, tinker with her bicycle, wants to join the army and cut her hair short, she is a girl, right? If you have a little boy that likes pink, he's a boy, right? I mean, if a girl has two X chromosomes, then she's a girl. If a boy has a Y chromosome, he's a boy. I mean, this is scientific. Science proves this. There's a pastor in Silver Spring. He said that this lady came to him for counseling, and she said, they sent this to my 8-year-old. They sent this home with my 8-year-old, and it had a questionnaire. It said, do you identify as A, a boy, B, a girl, or C, binary? And he said, this is evil. This is a child sexual pervert grooming. It really is. It's implanting these thoughts in their mind. They're grooming the kids to do something later. And if a teacher would do that, you should sue them civilly. It ought to be a crime. And sue the school board. Like, and if a Christian doesn't get angry at that, is that a sin? I think probably. Like, this is like evil. And so, stealing. Covetousness. Have you noticed how many times covetousness appears in the Bible with some really bad sins? I mean, covetousness is like at the heart of communism, which is an antichrist spirit which persecutes Christians, like openly persecutes Christians. And greed, and it all goes along with not being content with what we have, right? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And how about some audience participation? Some other sins of commission. We know a lot, I'm sure. We're experts in this field. Drunkenness, judging, gossiping, listening to gossip. How do you cut it off when somebody, this is the problem I have. Somebody comes up and they start gossiping. And then how do you, like, you kind of, you're halfway in the middle of the story and you're like, I started listening to the story. I don't want to be rude. How do I cut this off? And I was gossiping one time, and this pastor from Mexico, he said, oh, hey, he ran over, and it was the Holy Spirit telling me he left because you were gossiping. You know? He acted like he just saw a long-lost friend and ran over there. And like, so pretend you got to go to the bathroom. I don't know. Like, I'll tell you another little story about gossiping. I was at the conference in Poland, and I mean, the Holy Spirit was powerful. I was like in the clouds. I was like, I could do no wrong, right? And this guy comes up to me and he starts telling me this story about his brother and how this happened and this happened and this happened. And I sat there and listened to it. And then I was like, well, I got one that'll top that. I know this guy that did this and this and this. And he's like, who is he? I might know him. And I thought for a second, I shouldn't tell him. And I told him. And after that, I was hearing every message. The Holy Spirit was like, like talking to me. I went into the service and I sat there. And as this pastor I highly respect, I know the message was good. I could not hear a thing. I mean, I could hear what he was saying, but there was no spirit. And I could see the guy I gossiped with over there on the other side. And God said, go apologize to him. And we're in the middle of the message. I'm like, I can't go over there and apologize to him in the middle of the message. And the whole time, I could not receive a thing. So finally, I went over there and apologized to him. And boom, I started receiving again. And so gossip, or listening to gossip too, and gossip, gluttony. We don't hear that in America so much. Abortion is wrong. Abortion. How about omission? We already talked about not hearing. Giving. There's a couple boxes in the back here. Giving. in your heart in giving. Not giving because you think you have to or God will judge you, but God loves a cheerful giver. Your heart in giving. And like not just giving in that box, but giving your time and giving to missions and giving to... Actually, you don't have to give to poor people. Did you know that? Some of the biggest blessings I've had is a poor person giving to me. I'm like floored. I'm like, man, they love me because they can't afford it and I can afford it and they're giving to me. And so you can give to a rich person and bless them and also receive. If a poor person wants to give something to you, don't say no. Say thank you very much. That is so awesome, and you'll bless them. Sins of omission, encouraging or rather not encouraging people. Praying, can't you pray just 1 hour? I'm in this prayer meeting on Mondays, and the guy that closes it up, he always closes it up with that. Can't you pray just 1 hour? And if it doesn't end in an hour, he'll go another 30 minutes to make it end in an hour. But it's like, really, like, can't we? Like, no, we'll fall asleep. We'll daydream. Our mind will be somewhere else. Like, these are sins of omission. Like, how about concentrating on the word of God? When God has a word for you, listen, like, with your heart. And gathering together more as the latter day approaches. Loving. We already talked about that. But God so loved the world, he gave. He gave. So a sin of omission would be not giving or not dying or not accepting wrong or not forgiving, right? We need to forgive. And so preaching, I just preached about sin. And now the rest of the message, there's one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be good enough on your own to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So trust God. Trust God in your sin, like, or for your lack of perfectness, you know. Trust God that he is powerful enough to save you. He is powerful enough to save you. He has saved us. And his blood is powerful enough. And so the mature believer needs to learn how to rebound. You know, like when you shoot basketball and you miss, you're ready to get the basketball and take another shot, right? You got to rebound. And Satan uses sins to separate us from fellowship with God. So after we confess in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful, right? He is faithful. Satan will continue to try to get you to identify with your sin. Am I the only one? He does that too. Like, identify with your sin. But we don't identify with our sin. We identify with Christ. And this, you ever see like on the internet or something, they say this with a finger pointing up at that. We identify with Christ. This, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Identifying with Christ, not identifying with our sin. Even though I just talked all this time about sin, don't identify with sin. Identify with Christ. And this is actually sanctification. You know, people think sanctification is we on our own get better and better and better and more perfect on our own. It's actually identifying with Christ. We identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. And identify with the truth that maybe I can't see it all the time. But it's him. And the best testimony, I tell my kids, the best testimony doesn't involve a lot of sin, right? But the best testimony is not never sinning. because that's a Pharisee, right? The Pharisees are the ones who never sin, right? And Will Spillman, I still remember the men's prayer breakfast, he spoke on a devotional with Jesus eating with the sinners, and the Pharisees, he said to them, the righteous don't have any need of a physician. You know, you're already righteous. No, that's not how we should be. That's not the best testimony, to already be righteous. The best testimony is identifying with Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And Will said something that kind of floored me. And if I didn't know him, I could have gotten some false doctrine. But he said, may we always be sinners. And I was like, wow. You know, what a profound statement. May we, like, because the righteous don't need Jesus. So we don't, like, in that way, we recognize sin, but we identify with Christ in our sin. We don't identify with the sin. And so when we identify with Christ, we put off the old man and we put on the new man. And why do you work with troubled youth? Because we're always troubled. You're always having to put on the new man. Like that. Like, you can change your thinking and agree with God. And sin should not make us feel condemned. There's no condemnation in Christ. It should not make us feel guilty. The Holy Spirit convicts us, but it doesn't throw a guilt trip on us. It convicts us, and the whole purpose is to draw us back to Him. Satan, after we confess our sins, the whole purpose is to throw a guilt trip on us and draw us further away from Him, right? And God's like, He loves us, and we're right back in the position because we're in Christ. We put on the new man. And this is a little testimony. It was on Facebook, so I assume it's public, but I still won't say the name. But it was a pretty cool testimony, I thought, about this very subject. It was, let me find it. I took a screenshot. So. It said, I got born again on a school bus on the way from school, April 21st, 1975. A classmate shared the gospel with me, and I prayed the prayer right then and there. I had a powerful encounter with God surging through my body, rushing through my head, through my body, and out my toes. Not everybody has that same experience, but some people do. That's awesome. He said, I started laughing hysterically. I was totally transformed. 9 months later, we moved, and I ended up backsliding. The next 25 years of being a Christian, I had a chronic backsliding issues, condemnation, guilt, shame, low self-esteem, seeking comfort in the temporary, counterfeit affections of the world. Then in 2002, I got such a powerful revelation of the Father's love and what all that means that I haven't backslidden since. I was totally set free from all guilt, shame, and condemnation. I realized God made me likable and lovable, and I learned to love myself. Isn't that an awesome testimony? But a believer can be like held down by guilt and condemnation for 25 years, can be held down by that. And so we need to find our identity in Christ. The crucifixion and the resurrection. And Jesus took our sin. He applied His blood on the mercy seat in heaven when He rose from the dead. And you know, they have some crosses and Jesus is still on the cross. I like the ones with Jesus gone off the cross. Like, He's risen from the dead, you know. And then here's the famous verse. I was working in the shipyard, and this guy had a verse, a shirt. He had been to some convention or something, and it said Galatians 2:20. And I said, what's Galatians 2:20? He was like, you don't know what Galatians 2:20 is. It's only my favorite verse in the whole world, and it's probably more popular than any verses in the Bible. And I was like, really? So I go home, Galatians 2:20. And I didn't get it right away, but it's like, I have been crucified with Christ. That's the old man. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. You know, like, the old man's not living. Even though I just sinned 3 seconds ago, I take off the old man, identify with Christ, he's crucified in the life that I now live in the flesh. I'm not talking about like carnality, like the flesh warring against the spirit. I'm talking about this physical body stuck in time in this fallen world. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's like the crux of it. And so you are not your abortion. You're not your sin, right? Christ took it, even 3 seconds ago. Confess it, and by faith, you're right back in the position. Like, I mean, you're in the position the whole time. Confess it, and by faith, you can experience it right now. Like, anybody ever experienced that? Like, with any number of things, but let's just take worship. You come in, you're in a carnal mentality, kind of, and then a song's up there, and you know you should enter in, but you don't feel like it, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm just going to give it to God and worship anyway, not worry about that problem and worship, and boom, you're like, enter in right away. And that can happen in so many types of situations. And so Mason, who was troubled, nobody knew he was troubled, right? He's like, Mason, you know, but he was troubled. Obviously, he did that. You know, every time he went out, every time he greeted someone, he was like living that. He was taking his troubles, he's leaving them at the cross, and he was following the Lord. And so God is so holy. He's so holy that the penalty of sin is death. That's how holy God is. He's perfect, righteous, holy. The penalty of sin is death. And this was a song we were singing this morning. I need thee every hour. Where you are, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Not the sin. Don't identify with your sin, right? Because he's so holy that the penalty of sin is death. When you identify with your sin, you're identifying with death. It's not life. Identify with Christ. Holiness is Christ in me. Jesus Christ's blood is so holy. You know, you have to recognize, and we'll preach a message on that one day, but the blood of Jesus is so holy that it paid for that sin. That's identifying with Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:14, and if Christ is risen, if Christ is not risen, it's like a, what do you call it, a rhetorical statement or whatever, like if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Here he is preaching again. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Well, Christ is risen. And that's where our faith should be. 1 Corinthians 1:23-24, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Is there power in the blood? Is Christ crucified, is that the power of God? Is he risen from the dead? Did he take his blood and put on the mercy seat and pay for our sins? Yes. Like, let's live in it, right? The power of God, power over sin. We identify with God. It's even power over death itself, right? Where's your sting? Do you believe that? Say that to yourself. Do you believe that self? Like, whenever you're identifying with your sin, say to yourself, do you believe that self? And the answer, it's like a rhetorical question or whatever type of question that is. You know what I'm talking about. It's like, yes, I believe that. I'm identifying with Christ. This is the gospel message. The entire Bible has a theme. You know, like, the Bible is our frame of reference, and Christ is our point of reference. The entire Bible has a theme. God's the creator. Man is fallen. Man fell into sin. And God has a plan of redemption, and that's in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message to everybody in all the world, in any culture. That's the gospel message, whether it be in Morocco or Culpeper. It's Christ and Christ crucified. In Acts 5:22, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Acts 8:3-5. Is this the? No, this isn't the one. Okay. For as Saul As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So when a trial comes, go everywhere and preach the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the Christ to them. Acts 17, 6 to 7. This is in Thessalonica. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and Jason harbored them. They turned the world upside down. Like Mason turned Culpepper upside down, the world, you know. Not the churches. He left the churches right side up, but the world he turned upside down, you know. And so, yeah, let's everybody stand, and we're going to be dismissed. But Lord, we need you in this hour. Like, when we're in church, and when we're out of church, and when we're fellowshipping, in every hour we need you, Lord. And we just identify with you and the new man. In Jesus' name, amen.